Thanks so much for that great introduction. I think maybe a little comment. When I was ordained 52 years ago, at that time, the bishop of the diocese felt that young priests, once they were ordained, should move from parish to parish very quickly and gain a broader and broader kind of experience in a very brief period of time. The problem is that he didn't explain that to us. And as a group of young priests, we started asking ourselves, what are we doing wrong? Every time we seem to get settled in, we get a letter saying, you're moving, you know. One of the priests that was ordained with us was a bit of a character. And one day he went out, and upon his return, he presented cards to us. And the cards were a little business card that simply said, Father so-and-so, have chalice, will travel. Yeah. At that time, there was on black and white television, there was a great program called Paladin, have rifle, will travel. And that's where we got his inspiration. And I guess maybe I just thought you'd enjoy that little comical beginning to our celebration tonight as well. I just want to say, it's really great to be with you. I've been coming here for a number of years. I was introduced to this by Jean and Nora, who said to me, you've got to come to the carol singing here at Summerlee. And it's always been a great pleasure for me. And I'm really excited to be with you tonight. To be able to celebrate with you, really one of the biggest feasts of the year. And I was just moved a moment ago by what Susan read, how Christmas must be felt, not bought, or orchestrated or whatever. It must be felt. The feast of the birth of Christ. This is indeed something very, very awesome and moving in our life. As I was thinking about being here tonight with you in this capacity, I heard someone say, Christmas, 'tis a season to be jolly. And that particular phrase stuck with me. It remained with me, and I began to reflect on it. And knowing, as I say, that I'd be with you, I thought then I'd like to lead you in a reflection that I was making over a period of time. And I'd like to begin our reflection by saying, have you noticed that at this time of this year, we appear to change? We might say to ourselves, how do we change? Well, there's a number of ways that I think are extremely significant. Our smiles are more frequent and authentic. Our generosity is far more of a priority for us. It's my feeling that we're more in tune at this time of year with our blessings. I think we also focus more on others, and in particular on our family and on our friends. I dare say that we take more delight in the things and happenings around us at this time. And yes, I think we have more time for loving ourselves by indulging in things that we most enjoy. Good music, entertaining, yes, even shopping. And maybe, as someone said to me in this past week, I spent a day at home with this cold that I've had, and he said, I just sat watching old TV show, Christmas shows. What a beautiful day it was. And isn't that the truth? Those old Christmas TV programs and shows and stuff that we watched, they seem to be with us forever, and how uplifting they are. And yes, there's also the traveling that is part of some of our lives as well. Traveling to be with those that we most love. I guess also I'm kind of amazed at how many people tell me that they've been driving around the Lachine, Dorval, West Island area in particular, and how on a clear night, if we drive slowly along the lake shore and look up into the sky, we see the stars. That makes me think of the star that led the shepherds to the discovery of the child Jesus. And as we continue that drive, we see houses and we see buildings that are so beautifully decorated and alive with light. And all of that light reminds me of Christ, who is our light. All in all, it's a very special time of year, a time of preparation, a time of thanksgiving. Why? Because unto us once more a child has been given to us. He is Christ our Lord and Savior. We often see in the Christmas cards we receive, Emmanuel, God with us. And as I continued my reflection, we know that when we reflect on newly born infants, how quickly they grow. One day we're holding them in our arms, the next day they're crawling on the ground, and a short time after that, we have to watch them as they're running all over the place, and we have a hard time trying to keep track of them. Yes, all babies appear to grow in age and in wisdom. And so did the Christ child. And he became known as the carpenter's son. And at that time, that was quite a position. I had the experience a number of years ago of going to Rome for a program of recycling. And part of that program was to go to an ancient village that was found some 15 or 18 feet under the level of the present ground at this time. It was the main street of a village. And in the tile that was laid out of the roadway in that main street of the village was one shop that struck my attention. It was the shop of the fisherman that sold his fish to the neighboring people. But there was another shop that was the carpenter shop. Yes, that was quite a position to be the son of a carpenter. And one day as he grew and matured, he headed off from home and he began the mission for which he was born, to bring people to the knowledge and to the love of God. He, with his mother and a few friends, attended a wedding in Cana. To the regret of the couple, the wine ran out. This being brought to his attention, he blessed the water jugs, and giving them to the steward, it caused the steward to say, "Why have they kept the best wine till the end?" He continued to journey with his small little band of followers. And who did he focus on? He focused on the blind, the lame, the lepers. Indeed, the impoverished of his time. They were there before him in such abundance. And how did they show themselves? Just a few examples came to mind. "Master, my daughter is ill unto death." And he turned to him and said, "Go, your daughter lives." And as he entered the village, he found Zacchaeus sitting in the tree, because Zacchaeus was of small stature. And in order to see this prophet, Zacchaeus climbed a tree. And Jesus reached up to him and said, Zacchaeus, come down, because I need to eat at your home tonight. Yes, and all of a sudden there was a horrendous noise in the outskirts of the village, as a crowd were throwing stones. And suddenly he realized that a woman was being stoned to death because of her sin. And he reached out and he faced the crowd to the moment that they all left in shame. And he turned to the woman and he said to him, woman, has no one condemned you? And she said to him, no one, Lord. And he said to her, neither do I. Go and sin no more. Yes, the crowds began to gather and to be more numerous, moment after moment after moment. For he gave a message filled with hope, filled with light, filled with a future that was bright and had yet to be experienced by the average individual. And this was much to the dismay of the local authorities. One day on the hillside, as an example, he gathered with, we are told, 5,000 men, let alone the women and children who were also with him. And they gathered to hear his message. And recognizing the hunger of the crowd, he asked, have you anything to eat? And his little band of followers said to him, we have a few fish and a few little loaves of bread. But what is that amongst so many? And he said to them, simply give me what you have. And the 5,000 were fed with an abundance of food left over. Later in his mission, one of his own asked the leaders of the time, who, as I said, were becoming more and more alarmed by his presence, what will you give me if I will hand him over to you? And they told him, we will pay you X number of pieces of silver. And he said to them, he will be the one that I will betray with a kiss. And as he entered Jerusalem, shortly afterwards he was arrested and sentenced to be crucified and to death. And two criminals were crucified with him. One of them derided him, while the other simply said, Lord, have mercy. And that one heard the Lord turn to him and say, this day you will be with me in paradise. The skies darkened. Lightning filled the sky, and he uttered, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. I recall to you at this time, a few weeks before he was to arrive in Jerusalem, one day, as he was chatting with that bond of followers that he had developed over a period of years, his trusted friends, he turned to them and he said to them, who do people say I am? They gave him all kinds of responses. Some say you're such and such a prophet, come back again. Others say this, others say that. And then he turned to them with that all-important question, you who know me so well, who do you say I am? And we have St. Peter, who constantly throughout life, throughout his time with Christ, had the ability to put his foot in his mouth at the wrong time. But this time he turned and he said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then we have Christ's words saying to him, blessed are you, Peter. For flesh and blood has not given you this response, but my Father in heaven. And as I hear that word, blessed are you, I look out at all of you this evening, and I say, how blessed are we? Blessed are we tonight, gathered in His love. And may we, His people, continue to celebrate another year of His love and mercy by way of living our lives in imitation of Him. Amen. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for gathering us together in this cold winter night, that we might once again remember and call to mind the blessings that are ours, because we are your sons and daughters. Continue to grace us that we might share the light and hope that we have first received from you. We ask this through Christ our Lord, your Son, given to us anew this Christmas season.